Praise the Lord. We're going to pause for a moment of prayer as we go into Deuteronomy chapter 6 to begin with this morning. And the title of the message this morning is a command from God. Thou shalt not be afraid of them. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly approach thy throne, knowing that thou art the living God, that thou hast all power, that thou hast called us as a very small remnant out of the darkness of this world and into thy marvelous light, that there is an Israel of God this very day, that thou hast redeemed us and sanctified us in the precious blood of Jesus. And O Lord, I pray now that thou wouldst help us to receive thy word, help us to hear it, to believe it, to obey it. Let thy will be done, let thy name be exalted, let thy word sink down deeply into our hearts, that as we go out these doors today, that we would be changed, that our lives would be different. O Lord, that by thy Spirit, that thou wouldst sweep through us, O God, and let all sin be driven out, every wicked way, every wicked thought of man, every wicked device and design, let all of these come to naught. Let Satan have no power over us. Let him be driven out, O Lord, all the powers of the evil one, let them be gone. And, O Lord, let thy word prevail now. Let the power of the blood of Jesus be effectual unto us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the title today, as I mentioned a moment ago, is Thou Shalt Not Be Afraid of Them. And, of course, that would raise a question in your mind. Who is them? Who are they? What are we talking about? Well, we're going to discover that as we go through some scripture today. You see, God called his people out of a land of slavery and bondage. We know the story very well, how he brought them out using the 10 plagues to literally bring Egypt to its knees. And he brought his people out of that land of bondage, which would have looked impossible a short time before. Yet he was able to rescue them and bring them out. And everything that he did, of course, everything that God does, if you think about it, is a miracle. And everything he did for them was a miracle. Bringing them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into a new land. And all of this in the Old Testament parallels our situation today. You see, this is not just a story. This happened. This is verifiable history. And of course, the best way to verify it is through faith and let God come into your heart and really speak to you. He'll show you. But we know that the Word of God is absolutely true, that this did happen. And we also know that we are living at the very end of the world, thousands of years from that event, and yet we find amazing parallels in it. You see, God still has a people. There is still an Israel, the Israel of God. Now, the only Israel there is New Covenant, New Testament Israel. The Old Covenant is no more. You understand that? The Bible tells us that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, is, meaning the Testament, the agreement, is vanished away. The Word of God is valid, Old and New Testament. But the covenant, the agreement between God and men, is vanished away because a new one came into being. And you can't have two at once. The Apostle Paul, who is being attacked of late, did you know that? Did you know there is a movement out to try to discredit the Apostle Paul? To say that he was a false apostle, self-proclaimed, and all that kind of nonsense? And I think I mentioned Wednesday night that if you try to throw the Apostle Paul out, you also have to throw the Apostle Peter out. Then you don't have the keys of the kingdom. Then you're really stuck, you see? And all you've got is just another religion that you made yourself. Because the Apostle Peter said of the Apostle Paul, he called him a beloved brother. Our beloved brother Paul. Peter endorsed Paul and his writings. And he said that Paul wrote things hard to be understood, which they who are unstable and unlearned wrest, meaning they wrestle with these things, reaping damnation to themselves. Do you understand? If you try to take this King James Bible and you try to find one fault with it, you're reaping damnation to yourself. God promised to preserve His Word. There's not one error in it. I gave a challenge Wednesday night to anybody. Come on and show me one mistake in the King James Bible, and I'll show you the mistake is in your head, or that you picked it up from somebody you listened to. I have fought devils with this book and won. Amen. Other people who have tried fighting devils with NIVs had the devils attack them. Huh? Laugh at them. Scorn them. God promised to preserve His Word, and He did it, and we've got it in front of us. And who am I to edit it and say, nah, I don't think this is right, and I don't think that's right. You become your own God. You see? We must never allow ourselves to be so proud and arrogant like the devil was as to try to edit the Word of God. But we find if we read it and believe it and pray in it, through it, with it, that the power of God comes down and verifies it to your soul. And you don't have any questions anymore. The problem is, most people don't know their Bible. Most people haven't even read it through once. But they're very quick to say, no, I don't think that's right, and that's right, and that's right. No, wait a minute. It is right. It is accurate. It does work. Satan does flee when you quote it. And so, why am I upset this morning? I'm wound up. Because I feel the power of God in His Word, and I have to somehow get this message across to you, and I know that I am absolutely incapable of doing it. Only God can help us. Only through the power of God can this get across today. I am standing here in the year 2004. The world has gone completely insane and mad. Religion has gone insane. Everything is all aberrated. But we still have the Word of God. And we still have the assurance that it's true. And this is all we've got. This is all that matters, is the promises in this book. And where we should be afraid of impending doom, we're not afraid of them. And I'll show you why. Beginning in chapter 6, verse 1, Deuteronomy 6, 1. The Almighty God, as He led the people, as about to lead them, I should say, into the Promised Land, had this to say. Now, you will find parallels for today in your life. Do you think it's still urgent that we do that which is right and good in the sight of God? Could it be that any of us could be missing something? Or do we have such an ability within ourselves that we can say we have arrived and understand all truth? I believe that we are constantly seeking God. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I will tell you this, I will attack the powers of darkness. And I will attack all of these evil entities that try to destroy us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing I will never do is doubt this magnificent Word of God. Because if I do, if I have the slightest doubt or question about whether it's true or not, I am powerless before the devil. God's Word is all-inclusive. You can't take part of it. You've got to take it all. You know why there's so many religions? They take in little pieces of it. Whatever happened to the whole counsel of God? And ministers that come out of seminaries are taught according to a prescribed course. And most never really seek the Lord. They seek a diploma. They seek a degree, a certification, an ordination by men. But should we not humble ourselves before this Word of God? You know, the Catholic Church made a terrible fundamental mistake one time. They allowed a man, a young man from Eisleben in Germany by the name of Martin Luther, to become a professor, not of canon law like so many did. That was where the prestige was. Professor of canon law. They allowed him to become a professor of theology, study of the Word of God. And when he studied it, he found out the system he was in was operating in complete opposition to everything in the Word of God. And nobody questioned it. And while he tried to justify himself by flogging himself and torturing himself and walking up cement steps on his knees to a shrine and so forth, while he tried doing all that, he found a scripture one time that said, "The just shall live by faith." After going through all the motions of religion, he found a scripture that says, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not that of works, lest any man should boast." And he wept before Almighty God. He found a truth that is so valuable for us today. It's not of your works that your salvation comes, but salvation comes and changes your works so that you can do that which is right and good in the sight of God. He does give you power to prevail. Listen to what the Word says. Oh, and incidentally, you know what happened. They didn't stop Martin Luther. He drove the sword of God's Word so far into that system, it has never recovered. In the last days, we see all of it coming together like they're trying to put together a one-world religion. But isn't it pathetic? They're trying to put together a one-world government, a one-world religion, and they can never get it done. Closer and closer and closer, but they can't get it. Why? Because there's a God in heaven who says you can't have it. Daniel 2:44 said once Jesus came, once he established his throne, once he came and lived and died and was buried and rose again, there would never be another one. Never another one world government. Why? There can only be one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. Thou shalt not be afraid of them. You know, Jesus said one time, "Fear not those that kill the body, and after that there's nothing they can do. Don't be afraid of them. Rather, fear him who is able both to destroy both body and soul in hell." Think about it. If all they could do is kill you, what's that? Oh, they can threaten to take what you have and seize this and seize that and intimidate you and all that. But when it comes right down to it, if they killed you, what have they got? And what did you lose? No wonder Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." But you know, a little while ago I asked the question, could we be missing something? Are we living below our privileges? Is our faith perfected? Faith can be perfected, you know. That's when everything begins to flow. If you think God should do something for you, does anybody here think God should do something for you? If you need healing or strengthening or help of any kind, you look on one side of the ledger and there's all the promises of God. And if you haven't received things from God that He would want you to have, the problem is you. You and I. We are the problem. Because He is faithful and He is a miracle worker. And I've seen miracles many, many times. Let's get into this a little bit. This was all introductory. Deuteronomy 6:1 says, "Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments." What is one of the ways that God is known? How can you know there's a God? His judgments. Do you know one day there will be a judgment so complete that everybody's going to know He's God? Every time He sends forth a judgment, a catastrophe because of sin. You might say, what kind of a God is He if He's just throwing all this catastrophe down? He judges sin. Let go of the sin and you won't have the catastrophe. In your life or in this nation. This nation's having catastrophes and many more to come until the Lord comes because they refuse to repent. If thou wilt, I will. If you repent, He'll forgive you. Amen. But He has a church. He has a people. Always. Now, these are the commandments, The statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So God promised to prolong your days if you will teach your children. Of course, nowadays parents don't teach children very much. They're much too busy for that. They'll send them off to the public school where they will teach them. And you know what they will teach them? They will teach them one world government. They will teach them to subordinate themselves to their state. They will teach them all the ways of an antichrist system that has been built up for hundreds of years. But God said to teach your children. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. It could be so good. Now, we can say, okay, how does this apply to the United States? Oh, directly. How does it apply to my life, my family? Directly. You can be blessed, or you can bring curses upon yourself. Did you know that? What a blessing there is in obedience. Let's read on. The Lord said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. How many gods are there? Just one. Just one God. How many idols are there? How many false gods? Isn't it amazing that truth is always singular? There's one Bible, many false Bibles. Only one true one. One true church, many false churches. One true God, many false gods. On and on and on. One true doctrine, many false doctrines. So error is always plural, because the devil will give you any way to keep you from the one way. And people will latch on to anything that seemeth good unto them without even seeking God. They'll listen to anybody that comes on the radio that sounds like he's making a point. And I want to tell you something. Some of these guys will get on the radio or television, and they'll start you out with a premise that is positively false. Then they will build upon their false premise with absolutely perfect logic. Perfect logic. And you start listening to that. Say, yeah. Because they say, if this be true, then this is true. And if that's true, then that's true. And if that's true, then that's true. And they have this Aristotelian perfect logic that flows. And you listen to it and you're caught up in that flow of the logic. But remember the premise. And if the premise was false and the logic is perfect, you are guaranteed a wrong conclusion. Guaranteed. Because the logic ensured that the premise of error would follow through to come up with a conclusion of error. You see how that works? That's done a lot. And people get on and they listen to this stuff and they don't seek the Lord like they should. They get caught up in the flow of this thing and the excitement of it and the intensity of a spirit. But we understand Satan to be the adversary. We understand him to be Apollyon, Abaddon, the destroyer. We understand him to be the deceiver. And deceive he will. But he cannot deceive the elect of God. The elect have been duped many times, but cannot be absolutely deceived. And I'll tell you what, if you've taken the wrong path and you've been listening to the wrong people, you know what you need to do? You need to start all over again on your knees before God. Admit that you've been a fool, because admitting you've been a fool will make you wise again. The only way you can remain a fool is to refuse to repent and refuse to truly examine the Word of God and get yourself in it. That would be a fool. When God says, thou fool, that's a declaration that ensures the fact that you are one. But he calls us unto the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so here back in the Old Testament, he is telling us that there is one Lord, And verse 5, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." In other words, you put yourself into it. Why do we have might or strength? With everything we've got, every fiber, every nerve, all the determination we have, that we love God with... How many people do that? How many people really love Him with all the heart? Or there's other things in the heart. Other loves. Other distractions. You mean it's possible to love Him that way? He says to do it. He also said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He also said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." But how many people throw up their hands and say, "What's the use? What's the bother?" So they have doctrines to calm them down, to try and pacify them, and put them into a situation of complacency far below the privileges they're supposed to be in and far below the obedience level they're supposed to be at. We learn, we make errors, but we learn and we strive and we struggle and we fight, but we move forward in the kingdom. And as you do, He's with you every step of the way to show you the error, to make the correction, and to move on. There's a danger in these last days, and that is when people say everybody's right. That's what the witches say. When we were in Salem, I think, Levon, you maybe remember that. I don't know if you heard. I think you heard them say that. And Diane and my wife were there talking to these witches in Salem, Massachusetts. Was that right on Halloween? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Because we went down to New Haven later to the Tomb of the Skull and Bones. But anyway, this witch told me, she said, "Every religion is right." Now, if every religion is right, and they're all different, how can this be? You reach a level of compromise, of complacency, where everything just kind of, you just compact it together and don't worry about it. And that's where most people are. There is an absolute truth. And you can be absolutely right. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to end up somewhere, at some point in your life, you're going to be swallowed up in a spirit of error, and you'll end up in that big system that is on its way to destruction. And so the Lord said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." The words in the heart. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." Subject of conversation, the word of God. The acts of Almighty God. "And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." We're all given 24 hours in a day. Some of it we use for sleeping, some we use for working, some we use for eating, some for whatever other purpose. God's supposed to be in all of it, all 24 hours. Can it be done? Well, He said it could. The devil's been lying to people, telling them, "You can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it." Well, success comes in cans, not can'ts. Right? Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, all over the house." Scripture, 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 scripture. Amen. "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantedest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." God's saying, "I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be blessed, blessed, blessed through that obedience." But He said, "When you are, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. And of course, what that means there is to honor or reverence his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. Now, I want to ask you something. In this United States of America, which claims to be one nation under God, which God are they talking about? Do we have any problem in this country with many, many false gods? If there is such a problem, does not the scripture apply? Doesn't the Lord tell his remnant people, Israel, through Jesus Christ, that we are not to serve other gods or go after them? For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. He won't put up with it. That's what he's saying. You have other gods, you're asking for trouble. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. His own people? God would destroy his own people off the face of the earth? If you go after other gods. Yes. Doesn't that put the fear of the Lord in you? How are other gods served? Well, we call it idolatry. These other gods have special religions built around them. They have special days that are observed, special little customs that they take care of, and so forth. This whole Easter thing, folks, Easter has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You understand that? Jesus is our Passover lamb. He died at the time of the Passover. This year, it's rather close to Easter, but not exactly. And some years, it's up to 3.5 weeks difference between Easter and when Jesus truly died, was buried, and rose again. What is this thing called Easter? It's an ancient Sumerian, Babylonian, Chaldean, Persian custom and observance to a false god, the sun god, the sun god's so-called wife, Semiramis, and son of the sun god, Tammuz. That's what it's all about. That's why you have Easter eggs, Easter egg hunt on the White House lawn by the big obelisk that stands up there, that Egyptian symbol. And over by the ellipse, that big egg-shaped portion of land, which used to be where... We were in Washington, D.C. a couple of times, and over there in the ellipse, they were throwing frisbees around and all that. Now it's full of armed guards. Looks like a bivouac area. Go to Washington, D.C. now, and they've got rocket launchers on top of the office buildings. Barricades everywhere. Radiation detectors. In fact, there was a lawyer a couple months ago driving down the road. He'd just been to the hospital, and he had... a radiation treatment because he had cancer. If you have cancer, the quickest way to die is take radiation treatments or chemotherapy. They'll kill you dead. But anyway, this lawyer, well, it's true. You know, the New England Journal of Medicine a number of years ago said that from the time of diagnosis to the death of the patient of cancer, if they are untreated, is 6 years. If they're treated, it's 3 years. Remember the doctor's strike out in California years ago? The doctors were on strike and the death rate dropped way down. Plummeted. When they took the doctors out of the picture. Huh? Oh, yeah. This lawyer was driving down a street in Washington, D.C., and a cop pulled him over, and he couldn't figure out why, and the police officer said, well, you're not being pulled over for a traffic offense. You set off the radiation detector. He wondered how he could do that, and then he thought, well, I just came from the hospital. You know, they say that'll just zap you, bzz, you know, and goes away. Radiation will get into any dense area, mineral area of your body. And the half-life of it is, of gamma rays, is 4.2 billion years. So you're cooked after one shot. It won't go away. You might say, what can I do? Is there a God in heaven? Is he really there? Does he really mean much to you? Let's read on. This gets more intense as we go, as you will find out. So if you already hate it, you're going to hate it more before it's over. And frankly, I don't care because it doesn't make any difference anymore. I'm here to deliver a message, and you came to listen to it. You dared to come. Now you're going to have to deal with it. Praise the Lord. And I hope I say some things that will keep you awake at night until everything's right. Because that's a good thing. All right. And so the Word of God says, you shall not go after other gods, verse 14, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Jesus used that verse when he's fighting the devil, remember? Remember when the devil said, took him to that high pinnacle of the temple and said, cast thyself down, for it is written. Satan quoting scripture. That the angels are given charge over thee to bear thee up. Of course, he didn't quote it exactly, did he? You expect the devil to quote scripture exactly? Or in context? Never. But Psalm 91 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. See that if it were something that were unforeseen, lest at any time. Here he was saying to Jesus, cast thyself down. I want to see the angels pick you up. If you're really the Son of God, throw yourself off the big tower, and I'm going to watch the angels pick you up. Jesus took Satan back to this verse right here. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. In other words, you don't put him to the test. You don't challenge God. You don't defy God and say, all right, God, let's see you do it. Mm-mm. In the first place, he's not at your beck and call, is he? Huh? Will he not do what he will do when he will do it? And he doesn't ask us and he doesn't go on our schedule. We need to get into the will of God and let the Spirit flow and everything will work out well. Man lives in his own realm, his own world, a realm of defiance. You know your history, remember? Remember Benito Mussolini? Some of you heard me tell this, some haven't. Remember the dictator, El Duce? Huh? I put his nose way up in the air. He had the Pope in jail. It's about the only good thing he ever did. Did you know that? He arrested the Pope and put him in the slammer. Should have left him there. Why couldn't he get out? He's supposed to have the keys. Huh? But anyway, Mussolini stood up in front of all these Italian people as far as the eye could see human heads. And he had this big pocket watch. And he took his pocket watch out and he stood in front of all these Italian people, Roman Catholic, looked at the watch and he said, and I'll try to do this in Italian, there is no God. He says, there is no God. If there is a God, I give him a 5 minutes to strike me dead. And he stood there, El Duce, and he watched that pocket watch for 5 minutes. And when he got through, he snapped the lid shut and said, there's no God. I gave him 5 minutes to strike me dead. Nothing happened. Here I am, alive as ever. Now, isn't that something? Let's use this analogy. Let's say that's like a little, one of those little red ants. Oh, we'll make it a black one, bigger yet. Little ants crawls up on a railroad track, and he's sitting on the track. And that little ant lifts up one of his legs and says, there is a no train. It's an Italian ant. There is a no train. If there is a train, I give it a 5 minutes to run me over. Now, do you think the railroad's going to dispatch a special train just to run down that little ant? If the little ant waits long enough, the train will come. And with Mussolini, the day came when they strung him up by his heels. And that was the end of the man who defied God and said, there is a no God. Because there is a God. Amen. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. We live in a nation that defies God with multiple sins and blasphemies. In the movies, the wicked humor and the filth and the garbage and the sexual licentiousness, all these things going on. Is that what's right and good? Then can people complain that there's trouble in the land? There's a reason for it. When they continue to butcher little innocent babies in the abortuaries, there's evil in the land, folks, and this country is going to pay. It's going to pay. Mark it down. Thankfully, even though we live here geographically, physically live here and interact with this, our hearts are not in this world. Better not be. You know, the Bible comes right out and says we're going to interact with them, and that's all right. Did you know that? The Apostle Paul said the only other thing you can do is leave the world. So yeah, we'll interact with them. In fact, George Bush wants to colonize the moon in the next 15 years. And then move on and colonize Mars. That's why they're up there looking around trying to find water. With that great big expensive divining rod that's going around here, huh? That rover called Spirit. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go and in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies. Who are our enemies today? Now be careful with that. Because God didn't call us to overrun any particular people. Our enemies are the evil spirits that are operating the whole show. You know, it's relatively easy to fight people, but try fighting devils. That'll take a lot out of you. You know what? You'll find that you have to be right in your heart. You have to live right. That's why it's hard to fight devils, because they know whether you are or not. To cast out all thine enemies. What did Jesus say in Mark 16? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them or harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But you got to be living right. To cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And how do you do that? In the previous verse, it says, by doing that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. How is it any different now? And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Notice, he's got to bring you out to bring you in. Did you ever stop to think about that? You got to repent of things. Your life has to change. To give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And you know why you're alive this morning? I'll tell you, there's only one reason. It's by the grace of the Almighty God. That's the only reason you are alive and breathing God's air right now, is he's been gracious to you. Because the wages of sin is death, and that's what we would deserve. But he called us out to give us a new life, folks. A new life. A new and a living way. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. And so he lays out this whole thing for us. And of course, in the New Testament, the new covenant that he made with us, we find all of this in Jesus Christ. This whole chapter fits into Jesus Christ. Where do you find strength to do what's right? In him. Now, we're just getting into the good part. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. You see, God didn't pick us because we're the greatest and mightiest. It's amazing how many frail people he calls. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy upon them. That's talking about us fighting evil spirits in the new covenant. Huh? Didn't he say seven nations here? Remember Mary Magdalene? And if you saw that terrible, rotten, blasphemous movie called The Passion of Mel Gibson, what's what I call it? Because Mel Gibson's passion. He's got that cheap two-bit whore playing Mary Magdalene. X-rated porno star, hand-picked to play Mary Magdalene in that movie. And she still, one woman wrote and said, well, she must be changed by now after playing that part. Do you understand some people are incorrigible? Some people's hearts are so hard as a rock. Huh? That's not going to change them. They're being paid well for it. They're turning a trick for the devil. You understand that? So we fight these devils. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says, had seven devils cast out of her. Kind of interesting with that New Testament parallel here in seven nations driven out. Thou shalt show them no mercy. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. And by the way, if you're a Christian man or woman, find a Christian spouse. And don't think you're going to change him later. Famous last words, right? You marry in the faith. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars. Again, I say, are there pagan altars in the land? The Catholic Church is full of them. So is the Methodist Church. Huh? Presbyterian, Episcopal, Unitarian, Universalist, which is witchcraft in disguise. Where does Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary, the head queen of the witches for this whole area, where does she hold her meetings when she reaches out trying to recruit? Unitarian Universalist Church right over there in Madison by the Veterans Hospital. The Church of All Worlds is affiliated with them, which is a witchcraft organization. The Wicca Church of America, the Church of Wicca, the Process Church of the Final Judgment, all these denominations of witchcraft. It's everywhere, folks. And it's gotten into churches through Harry Potter and the Lord of the Rings. And incidentally, you know where the real headquarters is? One of the world headquarters for Lord of the Rings official original writings, documents, manuscripts? Marquette University. The Jesuits have it. In fact, they have a course there that they teach. They teach you to speak Elvish, the language of the elves. Marquette University is one of the hottest devil-infested spots in the entire world, literally. Jesuit headquarters. Anyway, and a lot of people come from all over there to study. One of the big drawing cards, over 3,000 people a year come to Marquette for the purpose, not enrolling, but coming there to go into their facility and study Elvish languages and J.R.R. Tolkien. A man who would start writing his manuscripts, and as he would write, he'd get down a little ways, and his writing would get closer together and closer together, and finally it would go into just a big ink blot, because his spirits would drive him, and he couldn't write fast enough. Doesn't that tell you who inspired it? But because churches have embraced J.R.R. Tolkien's works, The Lord of the Rings, and Harry Potter, the works of Rowling, who is now a billionaire, one of the top 25 wealthiest people in the world. At one time, when she started writing Harry Potter, she went down to the coffee shop to write because she couldn't afford heat for her apartment. And so she tapped into the devil's source, and now she sits in with the Queen of England. She's on the same list with the Walton family. Did you know there are 5 billionaire Waltons from Walmart? Each one worth in excess of $20 billion. Where'd they get all that money from? Small towns all over America, they took the money out of the small towns and into their coffers. Do you ever stop to think when you spend money at these places, oh, but it's cheaper there. Spend money in those places, the money leaves the area. Do you ever wonder why there are so many businesses shut down, closed up? Did you know that between 20 and 100 businesses close after every Super Walmart opens? That's a fact. Why them? Sam Walton was a big, high-ranking Freemason, member of the Esoteric Lodge, Illuminist, and they gave him that situation. The retail climate of America. But you know what's really strange? It's backfiring on them because our money system is failing. It's all going downhill fast. If you ever stop to think about some of the things that are happening around you, maybe that'll give more meaning to the words I'm reading here and talking to you about. I'll just show you a few things. Oh, this one, I'm glad I grabbed this because this is some unfinished business. And I didn't know this except that I got this by way of Australia. Most of the news that I get that's dependable is from Australia or England or somewhere. We don't get U.S. news here. From Pravda West. But when I was out in the New York Harbor, remember I told you about the vision I saw and how I looked at the Statue of Liberty at the torch, and then I saw Manhattan burst into flames, and I saw this in a vision 7 weeks before it happened, published it in a newsletter, over 3,000 of them postmarked, went out to verify it. All kinds of repercussions from that. There's something that I didn't say, because everything else was so dynamic, I focused on that. But I specifically remember as I looked at the Statue of Liberty, I said, Lord, rebuke that ugly whore in the harbor and shut it down. It's a monument of idolatry. It is the image of a French whore. Did you know that? During the French Revolution, fomented by Adam Weishaupt through Robespierre, and as they went through the streets gathering people up, the guillotines were going and so forth, they found a whore, prostitute, in the streets of Paris, well known to a lot of the men. They took her into Notre Dame Cathedral. They dressed her in robes. They put a torch in her hand, and she stood on the high altar in Notre Dame and forced all these people to come in and bow to her as the goddess of reason. And they shouted out, liberty, equality, fraternity. It's still on the French coins. Later on, the French government made a huge statue of that prostitute and put her in the harbor in New York during the administration of Grover Cleveland. And there it stands to this day, like a fallen angel, holding not a sword, but a torch of illuminism to keep the way of the Big Apple. It's kind of amazing when you look at all of the implications of this. But anyway, as I was going past there on the Staten Island Ferry, I looked at that statue. And I asked the Lord to bring it to desolation. Now I get this article, and I just got it. And it says, the statue, you know, was closed after the 9/11 attack. It says, statue to stay closed. The Statue of Liberty may never open again. They said it's too dangerous of a place. Terrorists could go in and take it out. It wouldn't bother me any, but the fact is, it's desolate. It's a desolate whore. The doors are shut. And according to this, this is from the Melbourne Herald Sun newspaper in Australia, sent to me by my friend Elaine, who lives down there near Tasmania. I'm sure she gives those Tasmanian devils a rough time. But anyway, it came out of that paper. It's brought to desolation. See, and we're taught in the schools, oh, it's a wonderful symbol of freedom. Freedom? Where is freedom? This is not a land of the free, folks. Satan has come in like a flood. He set up a conspiracy to set himself up as God eventually. Now, here's a little item that I found amazing. David Rockefeller recently said, this is a quote from David Rockefeller, one of the head illuminists. He said, we are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine. Well, they're his friends, right? And other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. What's he saying? They concealed and never revealed, right? He went on to say, it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. So did the newspapers do a job for them? Absolutely. But we are now prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practiced in past centuries. What is auto-determination? Free enterprise. Freedom. He said it's better to have the bankers run it. They know what they're doing. That would be preferred. He goes on and says, we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. David Rockefeller. All right? Here's a little quote from Paul Volcker. Remember Paul Volcker? Back in the 80s, Reagan administration, he was the head of the Federal Reserve. Now it's Alan Greenspan. You see, we crossed the bridge into the new century, and that bridge had a green span. But Paul Volcker had this to say. And he's an ex-Fed chairman. He said, the fate of the world economy is now totally dependent on the growth of the U.S. economy, which is dependent on the stock market, whose growth is dependent on about 50 stocks, half of which have never reported any earnings. See the big long lists of them, huh? It's dependent on only a few. You see how easy it is to topple something like that? I had an eyewitness report contacted us. This person said, I saw in southeast Oklahoma on US 69 Interstate, right outside McAllister, Oklahoma, a truck passed me. It said on one side, China Army. Had China tags. I called the cops when I got home and they said not to worry. And he wants to know, can anybody shed light on this? Oh, there are signs, folks, when you've got... what? I know why. I'll tell you what it is. It must be they're protecting their Chinese laundries, right? Is that what it is? Now we have the situation where the queers want to marry. Have you read about Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible? Is it not upon us today? Isn't the sin... the Bible says they declare their sin as Sodom. Are there parades? The Bible said there would be. And so all these different counties and different governments issuing marriage licenses to lesbians, homos, and gays, and all these people, And I can call them queers because they call themselves queers. They have an organization called Queer Nation. Their goal is to have a queer nation, quite obviously. But now in the state of Oregon, and this will spread, watch it happen. There's such controversy about this that they said, all right, if we can't issue marriage licenses to the gays, we're not going to issue any at all. Well, I don't believe in this, that the state has the authority to do that. But you know what I'm talking? I'm making a point here. What they're saying is, we're not going to let anybody get married until the queers can get married. When they can get married, then come on. Then we'll take care of you. What is happening, folks? Where are we headed? And then George Bush. You know what's going on right now in Iraq? There's a big project going on. And there's a German news agency called MEHR, M-E-H-R, it means more in German. And they have been watching, and they have the evidence, that United States ships and British ships are bringing in weapons of mass destruction in the southern ports of Iraq and assembling them to put them somewhere so that they can be found. If you want to find the Easter egg, you got to hide it, right? So that he can say, see, we found him. I was right. You know, George Bush was recently at a Democrats and Republicans both invited. It was one of these radio and television news correspondent deals. And President Bush is looking under all the furniture, and he said, they must be here somewhere, making a joke about where are the weapons of mass destruction. Looks under the chair, under the table. Here we have men and women over in Iraq spilling their blood because of weapons of mass destruction that never existed, and our president is making a joke out of it, looking around under the furniture and laughing about it, and everybody else is laughing about it. You see, it's a theater of war. Read in your history books. They call it a theater, don't they? European theater, the Pacific theater, and so forth. Now we're going to take half of our military out of Germany. Got to put it elsewhere. We're running short. Watch. I pray to God it doesn't happen, but watch for a draft. It won't be till after the election, you can be sure of that. But they are just running short like the Roman Empire ran short. Of course, there's other news such as this. Just to show you a little bit about the idolatry of our world. Over in Greece, on Mount Olympus, in the temple of Hera, the wife of Zeus, the priestesses lighted the sacred torch of the Olympics, which is to travel throughout the world. The Olympics this year are going to be in Athens, Greece, beginning on Friday the 13th. But first, the torch has to be handed off 1,100 times throughout the world, being lighted not with a Bic lighter or with a match, but from the rays of the sun using a mirror on Mount Olympus. Very true to form. It will then be taken back to Greece. It's going to pass through part of the United States. In fact, 4 years ago when it passed through, one of the carriers of that satanic torch was Dr. James Dobson, a man esteemed to be a Christian psychologist, a man who was as far from the truth as the North Pole is from a goose nest, and he knows it. And so this thing is going to make its way through the world, and then they light the sacred, are you ready for this? The cauldron, uniting the world. That's the theme of it this year. The sacred flame that unites the world. And where was it ignited? In the temple of Hera on Mount Olympus by a priestess. I'm going to be interested to see who's going to carry it in this country. Who are the carriers going to be? Is Robert Shuler going to hand it off to Pat Robertson? Or who knows? But it's the torch of Illuminism, the torch of Satan. And the evidence is there. And they say, this is the flame that unites the five continents of the world. That's why there's five rings interlocked. Oh, Lord help us. And now in Britain, along Highway M1, they're erecting a large pyramid-shaped sundial at a cost of over $2 million in a time when there's no money. But they have money for idols, don't they? Folks, it goes on and on and on. But you know, if we see what God told us as in regard to all this that is building up, Satan unifying his kingdom, and we feel challenged by it, you know, they're working on it now. They have technology now where they have microchips that have become a new kind of biochip in that they can take the living DNA from a man and put it in that chip and put it into you. In other words, if there was a man who was a world dictator, everyone who takes that chip would have that man's DNA in their body. And if that man's full of devils, guess what? And he will be. I don't know how far God's going to allow it to go. One fine day he will come again and end all of this. But the Lord said that we are to destroy those altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Get it out of your life. You won't change the world necessarily. You'll rescue people out of it, but you can get it out of your life. For thou art an holy people, verse 6, Deuteronomy 7, 6. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are on the face of the earth. Why? Because we're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, aren't we? The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord chooses the least, the fewest, the smallest, the frailest? Who did he use out of all the strong men in Israel? Did you ever read the lists of the mighty men of valor in Saul's army and what they did? There's a list in the Bible. Mighty men of valor. And along comes a 10-foot giant, actually 9 feet, 6.5 inches to be exact. And who did God use to get rid of him? A ruddy little shepherd boy. One that Saul called a stripling. But the giant came down. He didn't choose us because we were big or anything big or anything big about us. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Because of Jesus Christ, he brought us out. Amen. Because he hung there in what appeared to be absolute weakness, nailed to a cross, blood running from his body. Could that be the victorious Messiah? In their minds, not a chance. And through that weakness of flesh came strength of spirit, and he brought forth his people. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face. Folks, listen. God is going to pay them back to their face. When he looks at the leaders of this world and those who capitulate with them and says, what do I owe you? Let me tell you something. He's going to pay them. The wages of sin is death. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God. Amen. So then he says in verse 10, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Everything they got coming, they're going to get theirs. And you better be thankful that, and I better be thankful that we don't get ours. He gave us grace and mercy and a new life. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day, and to do them. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee. Do what he said, obey him, he will love thee. And bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. You see how it could be? It can be at your house, it can be at your farm. Huh? Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Well, I've got 8 children. God's promises are sure. And the Lord will take away... This is going to mean something to you, I hope. Remember before when I talked about the medical profession? By the way, you know what the word professional means? One who makes money at something. We have professional ministers. There shouldn't be any, but we have them. Those that charge, those that sell. Do you ever wonder why these doctors, there'll be somebody in need of help, an operation or something, they won't touch them unless you lay $1 million down? Why? What kind of, I don't want to insult the animals, what kind of trash would let somebody die unless you laid money in front of them? I got far too much respect for animals to compare a doctor to them. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. How much? If you're living right? And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. We have epidemic venereal disease. They call it STDs now in this country. You know why? Because people are committing fornication and adultery wholesale. I was at Oshkosh one time at the university there where I was working, and I happened to be in Taylor Hall, and a class had just gotten out. I don't know, it must have been some kind of a microbiology thing or something, and all these girls walked in. Some of them were laughing, and some of them were talking, and one said, just think, if everybody was monogamous, in other words, no adultery or fornication, just your spouse that you were with for 7 years, it would absolutely wipe out STDs. There wouldn't be any anymore. And another one started laughing and said they'd have to lock me in a room and all this kind of crazy stuff going on. Well, there's your answer. But the Bible says if you live right, you'll never get any of those. If you don't, someday it's going to find you. You'll think, oh, I'm doing this safe way and all this stuff. It's going to get you. And it'll kill you. And you'll never know who killed you. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. Isn't it something how Jesus said in the last days that his coming would be like a snare upon all those upon the face of the whole world? A snare. You know, as a bird or animal approaches a trap or a snare, their primary concern, really their only concern, is the food that's put there for bait. They're preoccupied with that. That's why they go to it. Food is put out there. Something to satisfy them is put out there. You see, if we look at that analogy, Jesus said, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. This world has laid out a bait designed to be used in a trap to catch your soul. And people are only concerned about their own pleasure, their own fulfillment, to fulfill their own lust. They'll go for that bait, and it's going to be a snare, and it's going to catch them, and they'll be taken. You know why things are a snare to people? I'll tell you why things are a snare, because they're interested in the bait. The devil's trying to get you to do something evil, and you get interested in that bait. Then there's a snare in front of you. And you won't even see it because you're so interested in the bait. And if you take that bait, that snare will spring and you're taken. They have laid out a phony peace bait before the world. One world. Go and get that bait and you are snared. You become a part of that one world dictatorship. But in your own life, has Satan baited the trap for you in any way? Don't ever get interested in that bait, because there's a snare. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion in a moment. The Lord said, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. That's the title of the message. But shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. It wasn't because the people of Israel contributed anything. It was a sovereign move of God when he said, I will. I'm going to take them out of there. When you look at your life and you look around you at anything, and you feel challenged by it, you remember, thou shalt not be afraid of them. You look at this big one world government forming and one world religion and all of the threats and things, and what could happen to you. The devil wants to disable you with fear. Thou shalt not be afraid of them. Remember what God did to Egypt? They already fought two world wars trying to build a one world government, and they both failed. World War I failed to produce a one world government. World War II failed to produce it. It produced the UN. There was a League of Nations after the First World War. It produced those things, but never a one world government. They don't have it yet. They won't have it. They never will. That's like having peace in the Middle East. Remember that? All those claims? All those people said they were going to do it? Jimmy Carter said, we have achieved peace in the Middle East. No, they didn't. Mr. Peanut didn't do it. And now the Israelis went in and killed one of the religious leaders with a rocket. Took him out with a rocket. Assassinated him. And there's supposed to be peace? Praise the Lord. There's only one way to have peace, through Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of them. No matter what you read or what happens, Yellowstone National Park is about to become a ferocious volcano. I'd mentioned the other day that 300 elk dropped dead. They still don't know why, but they said the hydrogen sulfide gases are way up in that area. And as you know, any strong acid gas, hydrogen sulfide or hydrogen chloride and so forth, when it gets into water, it breaks the water down and becomes a liquid acid. And so the lakes, the streams, everything gets acidic. gets in the air, 300 elk drop dead, and virtually no sign of anything bacterial or viral. What's going on? 100-foot dome pulsating, other animals leaving that area. Could it really happen in the United States that we would have a catastrophe? Can't we fix anything? Can't FEMA do anything about it? They're going to be scattered in all directions too when that thing goes. What am I telling you today, folks, in conclusion here, is pay close attention to the title of this message, Thou Shalt Not Be Afraid of Them. Because Jesus said, My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. It's not like that. My peace that comes by His Spirit, that comes directly into your heart. Folks, the evidence is everywhere and the evidence is damning. But don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of what they could do to you. Just continue to fear God and keep His commandments. Do all the right things and He'll be with you. He'll even take diseases away from you. He said so. Let God be true, every man be a liar. He said, I will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. How much do we trust Him? How well do we believe Him? I'll tell you this, you don't have a choice. He's the only hope you've got. You'll never make it on your own. And it's not going to get any better. And so here we are. Stand with me if you would. Here we are in the presence of Almighty God. And we are faced with many decisions in life. But you can determine in your heart today. You can humbly seek the Lord, and you can determine in your heart you're going to obey Him and do what He said to do. That you're going to submit and be humble. And fall upon the Word of God that you might rise to walk in newness of life. For Jesus said, if you fall on the rock, you will be broken. But if the rock falls on you, it will grind you to powder. Amen. Folks, He's called us into His kingdom. Would you seek Him today with all your heart? Would you reach out? I could stand here till 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock tonight and give you a list of all the things going on in this world that show scriptures are being fulfilled, that our Lord is coming soon. You have no time to waste. Don't put it off a minute longer. Seek the Lord with all your heart. He'll take care of you no matter what happens. Thou shalt not be afraid of them. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning that we can consider thy word and that we can open our hearts to it. Now I pray that thou wouldst drive out every evil spirit that would hinder people so that they would be able to reach out to thee, O God, feeling the touch of thy spirit. Lord, I ask that thou wouldst save the souls of thy people, that thou wouldst keep us, O Lord. Give us victory, give us great courage and strength in the Holy Ghost to fight the good fight of faith, to do all the right things, to magnify thy name through righteousness, O Lord. Let thy will be done, let thy name be exalted. And I just ask in Jesus' name, through the power of the blood, that thy spirit would now come upon everyone in the hearing of my voice. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.